Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to Coach Menachem Berfel on this beautiful Sunday night. Thank you for joining us. I know everybody's busy and we appreciate you coming here and being part of it. Tonight is Shir 216. We are coming up close to the 5-year mark. We're very thankful. Again, I want to thank everybody every week for joining us and being part of it. This is a place that we talk out all the important topics that are on Usher Parnas' mind. And we talk about it. It's a place to talk things out. A lot of important topics. And I was just telling Coach Menachem, even before Tanya came on this year, that we actually never really focused on health and diet and nutrition. It's something that we recently got into. I got into it. And like, I just realized it's such an important part of our mental health. Whatever, we'll get into it. We'll talk about it again. Let's get into it tonight. Anybody wants to join our WhatsApp chats that we post all the flyers, the replays, please WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I will also post the WhatsApp community chats. Everything goes in the community. Or you could also go to MenachemBerfel.com and sign up for his email list. Menachem sends out all the emails of all the flyers and all the speakers and everything that's happening in Coach Menachem land. For anybody who's watching this video on YouTube, you can click on the subscribe button. So every week when we have the share, we post it live. You could watch it. You could also click on the like button, subscribe button, so we can get millions of followers and be the biggest online channel right after Joe Rogan. All the people that are, I want to thank all the advertising sponsors, the Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, LA905 from Chungshil, and Chayla Kaufman from JCN for always promoting us on the new and all the Jewish digital platforms. Just keep in mind, again, we made a quick switch. We didn't really discuss it. Every Sunday night going forward is 9 p.m. We're starting earlier. We started originally Menachem at 10, at 10:30, 10:15, I think even. And now we went to 9:30, and now we're down to 9. And we want more people to be able to be part of it and to end the drop, you know, before midnight. So thank you all for adjusting to the time. If anybody was here the first time, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we have different topics, different shiurim, different rabbanim, different therapists, different nutritionists, different shiurim on Tanya or with Tanya. Depends on what we're doing. And next week, January 19th, we're going to have a topic with a very top-notch Saidi therapist is from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Dr. David Levy. And the topic is called the Nurtured Heart Approach. We all strive to give our kids a stable, safe, and secure home. Yet, we often miss the key ingredient for the true success. It's going to be a very powerful program. I actually got into a little bit of Nurtured Heart, understanding it a little bit. It's a whole different method of parenting. We need always to refresh our methods. So please join us next week. It should be a very powerful program. And hopefully, a lot to learn from that. Tonight is Shir 216, and every Sunday night we do a gematria, and our CEO, CFO, and all the C-level suites over here, Arnett Fried, is going to give us the gematria for 216. You ready? Here we go.
Shalom and brach, everyone, to Zoom Shir number 216, the shocking truth of weight loss. One of the keys of weight loss is cutting down on carbs. And if you need some carbs, it's probably better to eat some matzah over bread. Which leads us up to tonight's gematria of 216 equals ha lachma anya. This is the poor man's bread. Matzah.
Wow, that's actually a very cute gematria. I happen to eat Tanya's matzah every Shabbos. The Strike's matzah, I just want to put it out there. So I'm not only a client, I'm not only the owner of the company, I'm also the client. Okay, so we're going to turn it first to Coach Menachem Berfel, Sunday night. Interesting topic. What are we doing here tonight? What are we trying to learn tonight?
Yeah, thank you very much for the gematria. I think this one, no one is going to forget. So I want to welcome everyone. Welcome to another Let's Get Real with Coach Menachem. We're doing tonight with Siyata Dishmaya, number 216, Baruch Hashem. And like we heard, after getting inspired last week, we get to know Paul ourselves through learning Tanya. So we're continuing with nutrition by Tanya. And it's part of holistic well-being, just to be healthy in all areas in life, in the life that Hashem gave us. To have healthy habits, healthy relationship with foods, and all around, healthy emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So often we hear, heard many times, Rabbi Avigdor Miller speaks a lot about how Hashem created the world, and he made us humans that we need to eat. Now, he could have made everything black, and you just have to eat it to stay alive. But he wanted to add some geschmack. We should enjoy life. So thinking about the apple, just look at that color. look at the texture, look at the crunch of the apple, and thank Hashem when you eat it. Just thank Hashem of all the food that He created, because He wants us to enjoy His world. Now, that's food that Hashem created. Then there are foods that people took and they do whatever they want with it. I would say Hashem did not create Coke. Somehow they figure out what to do and everybody likes it, so they drink it. But to stick to Hashem's food, and obviously there's big industries out there trying to push their things, and not always is it clear of what's healthy and what's not. So on tonight's topic, Tanya versus Ozempic, obviously if it's nutrition by Tanya, everybody knows what she's going to say. What's the question? And that's the email that I got from a lot of people. Well, obviously we know what she's going to say. Why should she say something that hurts her company? Well, yeah, that is a very good question. And we do have to have an honest, you know, an honest discussion, to be objective, to see what's good for us humans, what works, what's not. And, you know, everybody would agree that to be healthy, eat healthy is better than taking shots. So obviously there are people out there who are struggling. Obviously there are people who are taking shots, and the question is why. So we have to understand that it's a struggle. People are struggling with healthy diets, ups and downs, and it's a real struggle, and they just can't. And the only option that they see is to be able to take these shots. So you're going to tell them not to, they're not going to listen to you. They don't have a different option. So that's why we have to, you know, pull back, sit down, relax, understand the real struggle that people are going through. And maybe they can hear that there are options, whether it's, you know, healthy or different ideas that they've never heard. And they would say, you know what, try another one. I've tried so many. So yeah, it's not easy. So we have tonight, we have Mrs. Tanya Rosen and Rabbi Michael Spiltzinger. And I would say I heard Michael, he's a person who empowers men, whether it's with health or all around. So we'll hear much more tonight. In Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a lot of Siyata D'Shemaya, and people should get the help they need, the help physically, emotionally, mentally, because it's all one. So thank you very much.
Beautiful opening. Okay, so we're going to do two quick openings first. We're going to do Michael, who's going to go first, then Tanya. So again, tonight's share, it's nutrition by Tanya, Tanya Rosen, and Michael Spiltzinger, which he'll pronounce it properly soon. We titled it, there's a lot of parts in the title, a lot of different parts we want to try to cover as much as possible. Tanya versus Ozempic, the shocking truth about weight loss. Is motivation real? Tanya reveals the real secret to lasting weight loss. So it's a bunch of different topics. We want to talk about all different parts of it. Michael, I'm going to give you the opening. Introduce yourself, pronounce your last name, tell us who you are, and open it up.
Thank you. My name, as you said, is Michael Spiltzinger, or Spiltzinger. So that's as in Spiel Zinger. So we're a family of Levium, and so therefore playing music and singing runs in the family, although in my case it actually skipped a generation, but what can I say? So instead I try to focus on some of the other aspects of enhancing life. So first I also want to thank you and Coach Menachem for inviting us on, and I want to thank Tanya for inviting me to join her tonight to discuss this important topic that's really close to our hearts. So about 6.5 years ago, back in 2018, I was 75 pounds overweight, and I was at my annual physical. My doctor was not happy with my blood pressure numbers, and he's like, you know, you're gonna have to get on meds if you don't bring this down. And I was really not crazy about going on medications. So we said, all right, let's give it another year for my next physical. And in the meantime, I got to lose some weight. And I have been overweight my entire life, and done the yo-yo dieting a bunch of times. And this was actually the time before Ozempic. And I'll tell you the truth, probably if it was around back then, I would have considered it. But in any event, I began a 2-year journey where I dropped 70 pounds. I learned that most of my problem was really in my mindset and in my habits. And what I did was I totally changed my relationship with food. And I knew that this was something that I wanted to help others in. And a couple years later, I joined Tanya's team. And shout out to my wife for seeing the opening, the ad for the opening for a male nutrition counselor. Now, I came in already knowing what I should not eat, and I had really learned how to get better at that. But in order to really get a good balance of nutrition, you also have to learn what you should be eating. And after joining the team and incorporating what I learned on the job and in my practice and helping other people, I ended up losing an additional 10 pounds. Now, the subtitle of tonight's show is about the secret to lasting weight loss. And I'll tell you the truth. Lasting weight loss or sustainable weight loss is actually a contradiction in terms. And I'll tell you why. Weight loss is an event. You can't sustain an event. All these methods of losing weight, these are actions. These are things that happen. But once it happens, it's already in the past. So whether you're going on a diet or you're doing procedures like sleeves or Ozempic or other like, you know, different radical ways of losing weight, these are all methods and these are all events that happen. But the only thing that you can actually sustain is a change in yourself, a change in being, not in doing. So you can do something in order to lose weight, but you have to change who you are in order to sustain the result that you are, that you have achieved. And what you need to ask yourself is, what is your relationship to eating? What is your relationship with food? What purpose does food have for you? And there's even for an individual, there's no one answer. It depends on the situation. Sometimes I'm eating for fuel. I need energy. I need nutrients. So when that's the purpose of the specific activity of eating, then it informs the decision of what I will eat in that situation. But sometimes the food is there just for enjoyment. You know, it's a social occasion or it's Shabbos or Yontif. So that type of eating is going to take on a totally different dimension. And that's okay. There's a time and a place for that. So that is our relationship with food. But there's another relationship that's important to keep in mind. And that's the relationship that you have with yourself. That's where emotion, boredom, and other triggers come into play. And that's where many people get tripped up, especially when they hit some adversity. What's the story that you tell yourself about yourself? Is that story serving you? Is it making you feel energized, or is it just filling you with shame? Are you disconnecting from yourself in order not to have to confront these uncomfortable thoughts and feelings? Now, I've worked with and spoken to over 100 people. Typically, people see being overweight as a problem that needs to be fixed. It's a mum. It's a blemish. I have to do something about it. And the faster I can get rid of that mum, the better. So I just have to do this course of action. I have to, whatever it is that I decide to do. And then once I get to the ideal of where I've accomplished, where I feel that I can now, you know, now I'm finally happy with myself, then I'll figure out how to sustain this. But when you're dealing with motivation and you're dealing with focus, after a while, you lose the motivation. People lose interest, they lose focus, and there's life events such as simchas or there's stress. And before you know it, sometimes the weight starts to creep back up. And the issue is, the key is that they never change the person who they are. They only change what they did for a period of time. So injections, sleeves, bad diets, they could be methods that will actually work very quickly. I know some people who have been very successful with Ozempic and with things like that. And you might lose a lot of weight at age 40, 45, 50, but what about when you're 55? What about when you're 65, 75? You're still going to have to change who you are. So why wait? Why wait until you've gone through this kind of regimen where you're going to possibly, potentially negatively affect your metabolism, or possibly create all kinds of irreversible side effects? Just do that part now. Become the person that you want to be, that you can be. You can do it naturally and keep the agency that you have over your body. And your body is the most important pekadon that was entrusted to you by your creator.
That was a beautiful opening. Okay, we're going to turn it over now. Nutrition by Tanya Rosen. Tanya Rosen is the owner of Nutrition by Tanya and Sculpt by Tanya with 12 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Israel. Tanya is also the creator of the TAP Healthy Food Line, Shape Fitness Kosher Workout DVDs, and the Cooking with Tanya, Cookbook Series, and the new All Natural Weight Loss Vitamin. I don't know how to pronounce it correctly.
Vitamin.
Tanya, thank you for agreeing to come on, being here tonight. A lot of people are here specifically for you. So open it up.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Wow. I see there are over 300 people on here. Wow. So I'm not going to bore you and I'm not going to make this about me because I know people have a lot of questions and I'm really here mostly to answer like anything and everything, like anything you ever wanted to know, you're welcome to ask that tonight. I'm really not here to talk much about myself, but I'm just going to say the parts that are important just so you know that I get it. So 20 years ago when I was pregnant with my first child, I had gained 50 pounds. That's 5-0. And after he was born, I was really just trying to kind of like lose the weight that I gained during pregnancy, right? Like I wasn't trying to be any thinner than that. And, you know, what Michael said, 7 years ago, there was none of this Ozempic stuff. 20 years ago, there was not only no Ozempic, there was literally nothing. Like if you wanted to lose weight, there were barely any from nutritionists. Like it was like kind of like just figure it out on your own. There was Weight Watchers and that's it, right? So I kind of just like started eating healthy, figuring it out. Like I had never eaten healthy before in my life before this. I had never exercised. I fell in love with eating healthy, with exercising. And then I was basically almost in law school and I decided to go for nutrition instead. So at that point I had lost 50 pounds, 5-0. You know, I weigh less now than I weighed at my wedding. And this is 5 kids and 5 C-sections later. And I'm very passionate about helping all genders and all ages, but I would say my main passion is like a lot of times I meet women that are like, but I had 6 kids, but I had 3 kids, but I had 8 kids. There's no way I could ever be back to my wedding weight. And I'm like, why not? Maybe we could get lower than your wedding weight, right? I really like proving people wrong in the most respectful possible way, like in a good way. I really like proving people wrong because people have so many misconceptions and don't trust themselves. So I'm just saying this by way of intro that I get it. I really get it. I also get it because I'm not just starting to do this. I've been doing this for 20 years. So I've seen over the last 20 years, all the trends, all the fads. I've even seen what happens to people a couple of years after they're done with a trend or a fad. Like I've had clients come back after Ozempic. I've had clients come back after weight loss surgery. I've had clients come back after fad diets. I'm very non-judgmental. So people feel comfortable coming and telling me, hey, I did this and this. I cheated on you. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Like I'll work with you. So I've seen it all and I get you no matter what stage you're in. And, I'm no judgment at all. I actually completely understand how people are tempted to do anything extreme. I know that people get frustrated and they want to do extremes and I totally, totally understand it and get it. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have. Of course, I have my opinions, but I'm also here to really answer whatever anybody wants to know. So bring it on and ask away.
Okay. Well, let's jump into it. We're going to start with a poll. I want everybody to answer truthfully. We'll review it. And then anybody wants to ask a live question. You have Tanya, you have Michael over here. These are Tanya's 20 years. You're doing this. How long? Over 20 years, Tanya's probably
almost
seen
20, almost 20, yeah.
Probably seen over 1,000 people, if not more, and it's probably seen every type. And
1,000 people? I see more than 1,000 people per year.
Okay, wow. So Tanya's then probably seen 20,000 people. I'm not judging, but a lot of people. Yeah. But please, you know, I just want to say, I said this before, it's like, it's such, one of the things that I'm fascinated with physical health, me and Menachem, for 5 years, I put so much energy into mental health. And making people mentally, you know, feel good or get the proper help. There's another aspect that I just like, I'm mind boggled by it. Like I never like realized it. Now I'm into it a little bit. The physical health part is such a factor. It means you could be in therapy or be completely healthy and like la la land that your life is perfect, right? Like, you know, all those people that have the perfect life. But if your body is depressed or you're overweight or you just don't feel good or your shirt button is popping, you know, that famous popping button, like your body could be depressed and it's just like, you need to get your body to be happy also. It's not just the mental. It works very well together.
I just add to that first of all, hardly anybody thinks their life is perfect, right? I don't know about you. I don't really meet people who think their life is perfect. But besides that, more than ever, there's so much awareness that in the past where people used to be like, it's okay that I'm overweight. Now with all the awareness and all the talk, I think most people, it really truly bothers them either for vanity or for health. Most people don't.
I think there was a report that came out, I saw recently that in America, the first time in many, many years, people lost weight this year. Like throughout the general market, like most people versus going up or down, like more people lost weight this year than gained weight. Like there's a big trend of like trying to be more healthy. You know what I mean? That okay. It could be as epic. I'm not saying that. Okay. Let's get into the polls. Here we go. Hold on. Here we go. 3-question poll. First question. How concerned are you about Ozempic long-term? Number one, very concerned the potential risks outweigh the benefits. That's your opinion. Number two, somewhat concerned. I have questions, but I see the potential. Number three, not concerned. The benefits outweigh the negative speculations. Or number four, neutral. I'm undecided. I'm waiting for more data. Number two, best way to maintain weight loss. In your opinion, what do you think is the best way, right? A person loses 20 pounds, 30, whatever you lose, how do you maintain it? Number one, a coach. Personalized guidance and accountability. Have somebody to really be with. Support group if you have a bunch of chevra, a bunch of friends, whatever it is. Encouragement and shared experience. Three, supplements, boosting metabolism, filling nutritional gaps. Or number four, exercise 3 times a week, staying active and building consistency. What do you think from those? Like, obviously they're all good. Which one do you think is the most, you know, to keep, to maintain it? General question, we just want to see people that are here. What is the most weight you ever lost? So there's 4 options. The most you ever lost was 10 pounds. The most you ever lost was 20 pounds. The most you ever lost was 30 plus pounds. And the fourth one, never on a diet. You never really lost, like, on a serious diet that way. Okay, everybody answer those questions. Yeah, just for other people that are here now, people are texting, people raising their hand. Anybody wants to ask a question, please text in the chat to Asher Parnas. Remember, live questions go first. So keep that in mind. We'll try to get to all of them. And give this poll another 10 seconds, and then we're going to review it together, and then we're going to get into it. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay. Let's review this. Tanya Michael. How concerned are you about Ozempic long term? 45% of the people here tonight, most people, the number one answer, are very concerned. The potential risks outweigh the benefits. 29% somewhat concerned, 4% not concerned, 21% neutral, they're undecided. So definitely, if you add up the 45 and 29, by far, people are concerned, and the people that are not really saying that, 21%, they're undecided. They're waiting to see more data. So by far, the only 4% of the people that are totally cool with using it. Michael, you want to go first? What's your thought on this? Tanya?
I mean, it's hard for anyone to really know because it's not around for long enough. So, like, unless you know someone that had a horror story, like, we don't really know. Right? Like, there's not much data yet. So it's not based on much unless you heard someone that something happened to, right?
We're waiting like cigarettes. We're waiting like 20 years from now to find out that this happened. It's speculation. We don't know.
It's all speculation. If you have fear of the unknown, then you're probably worried because it's the unknown, right? Right now.
Let's go into the next question. There's a lot more about Ozempic people's sentence. We'll get into that. Best way to maintain weight loss, 32% coach, 19% support group, 7% supplements. 42% of the people, the number one answer is exercising 3 times a week, staying active and building consistently. Michael?
Yes.
No, I have to say something. I'm sorry. Can I just say something? I want to bust a big myth.
I was in the class now. I'll tell you to go into the corner, but okay, go first.
I'll raise my hand, okay? A big, big, big myth is exercise does not make you lose weight, okay? It does not make you lose weight. You could take 2 people, same height, same weight, same goal, same food. One exercises, one doesn't. I promise you the one that exercises does not lose more weight than the one that does not. Okay? It does not make you lose weight. It's healthy. It's good. But 90% of weight loss is food.
And I 100% agree. I have found that, like, people think that, you know, you can exercise your way out of bad eating. I think, though, I mean, the way I'm reading the question of the best way to maintain weight loss, I would say that, you know, having a coach or a support group, I mean, support groups are really important. Exercising 3 times a week is one of those things that I think, like, if a person's engaged with it, so then it kind of keeps them, you know, always thinking and mindful about the fact that they are, that it's bringing everything else up for them. So, if they've lost weight and they're exercising 3 times a week, they're not going back to some of the old habits that they've been. They're probably living that and being that new healthy lifestyle that they're doing. So at least it keeps them in the game. But
it's not like lose weight.
Let's mention another thing. Exercise, forget about the weight loss, is something that for your general health, for your heart rate, for your cholesterol, for your diabetes, obviously weight works with that. But exercise is also super healthy. Forget about the weight loss. But the way I understood it, tell me if I'm wrong, Tanya, 70% of weight loss or 80% is from dieting the 20% of exercise could boost the metabolism a little bit to get the diet a little bit more. Some people do plateau when they diet sometimes, and the exercise sometimes burns more calories. It gets their system more active.
90% of weight loss is from food, not even 70 or 80. 90% is from food, and the rest is from exercise. And, of course, there are so many benefits to exercise, for sure. But the question was how to keep your weight off or how to lose weight. So related to that, it's not from exercise.
Okay, the last question, what's the most weight you ever lost? 21% 10 pounds, 31% 20, 37% 30, 11% never on a diet. So I'm assuming most people have lost 20, 30-plus pounds. Seems like we've been through the cycle of, you know, most people here have been through the cycle of losing significant amounts of weight loss, assuming some gain it back, some don't. Any comment on this, Michael or Tanya?
I'm curious about the 11% that have never been on diet. How come you guys are here? Like, just for the information or like?
Well, they know it's coming. It's fun, but you can't hide, right? I have a friend that was always skinny, 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 skinny. And now he's like heavy. He's like, I don't know what happened. I was like, you're getting older. Like, that's, you know, your metabolism slows down. Eventually, everybody gains weight. Okay, let's get into the questions. Okay, let's start with some more questions that came in. Somebody sent in a question. I'm 5'9", 300-pound male and struggling with being overweight. What would make it more sense for me to focus on getting weight loss shots like Ozempic, or should I prioritize improving my nutrition instead? So this is Michael and Tanya, decided who wants to go first. This question is a very simple question. A lot of people have this question. Somebody is 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds overweight. You're going to say, obviously try to do it yourself. Now, when somebody, what's the point when somebody is X amount overweight? How do you measure the Ozempic versus the diet? Like, what point? How do we go about it? I don't know who wants to go first. I want to hear from both of you.
I don't think it has to do with the fact that he has a lot of weight to lose. In fact, if he has so much weight to lose, it's going to go nicely. He's going to lose a lot every week. Like, the more someone has to lose, the more they're going to lose every week. So he's not going to be stuck for a while. He could be losing a nice 10, 20, 25 pounds a month without weight loss shots. Like, it's not like he's stuck. So unless there's like a really dangerous situation, you know, where like his doctor is like, you know, you're like a minute away from a heart attack, God forbid, then why shouldn't he try to do it the natural way? That's my opinion.
I mean, at some point, again, this fellow, you know, who's struggling is going to have to learn how to eat a properly balanced diet in any event. You know, just, you know, taking the shot, it's not a magic solution that just makes everything go away and makes everything good. You still have to learn how to eat properly. So if you learn how to eat properly from the outset and you deal with a lot of the underlying, causes that contributed to that situation in the first place, then that would be, as Tanya mentioned, you know, naturally by focusing on being healthy, that itself will keep on feeding on itself, and this way the pounds will come off.
Let's talk about the struggle for a minute. Obviously, there are people that tried, and they're going up and down, and they're about to give up, or they feel there's no other option. What, you know, what is the struggle? Why is it so hard? And it could be you have an option to say, no, if you come to us, it's going to be easy.
Nope. We don't say that. We say it's going to be easier because it's a normal plan, but we don't lie to you and say it's going to be easy. It's not easy, okay? But I'll tell you what I tell everybody, and that is that people, this is the motivation part, like, stop looking for motivation, okay? Everyone's looking for this elusive motivation, like, give me motivation. Let me be motivated. If I'm motivated, I'll do it, right? If you rely on motivation, you're never, ever doing it, okay? And as adults, we know that there are things in life that we do every single day, whether we are motivated or not, right? Like, most of you go to work. If you're moms, you cook dinner, change diapers, put on a shaitel when you just want to wear a messy bun, get dressed, right? Talk to people you don't want to talk to just because that's what you need to do, right? We do things all day long that we are not motivated to do. We simply do them because we know it's the right thing, right? So if I would wait to be motivated to go to work, I would probably not always go to work, right? So my biggest thing with motivation is I don't like that word. I really don't like that word because if you keep looking for motivation, you're not finding it, right?
Okay. Tanya, Michael, let's go to the first live question. Okay, you're on.
Hi. I'm just wondering, what should like a typical lady eating day look like? Average, whatever, like in terms of fruits.
There's no such thing as a typical lady. No lady is typical, okay? Everybody's unique. You're not typical. There's different heights. There's different weights. Nursing, pregnant. What kind of metabolism do you have? What's your lifestyle? Do you work? Are you a stay-home mom? Do you travel? What do you like? What do you not like? Do you have food sensitivities? Medications, vitamins, right? There's no typical, you know? Even in like a week where I see over 100 people, I promise you I never have the same conversation twice, ever. It's never happened because
there's no like percentages like fruit in the morning, vegetable. I don't know, like this type of thing.
I mean, if you Google like typical diet for a 5'2 woman, you'll get some kind of like generic answers, right? But there's really no typical because no one's typical, right?
So everything you do is custom made according to.
Pretty much. I mean, we have our basic, you know, standards. Like, of course, every meal is going to have like a protein, a vegetable, a starch, right? But the amounts vary. What people like varies. You know,
I guess my question was the basic. Like, obviously everything's changed. I'm just like for every single person and based on their weight and stage and all that. But what would you say is a typical?
Kokosh cake is out. Guaranteed.
Love kokosh cake. I really love kokosh cake.
Extra cheese pizza out.
It's like the one thing that's not allowed in my house. Like no one ever put kokosh cake in my face because I can't handle kokosh cake. But it's basically breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, maybe a little treat at night, couple of fruits a day, unlimited vegetables, lots of water. Like that's like really watering it down, right? But more than that, I can't answer that generically.
Breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, main meal is only one meal a day.
Hmm?
Oh, it's a regular breakfast, a regular lunch, a regular supper, and then snack in between. Wow, sounds...
Two snacks.
Okay, I have a question. And quinoa, what do you say about quinoa? Is that like very healthy, eat unlimited, or is that really calories, so cut on it? What's that?
That's a very good question because people seem to think that quinoa is like a vegetable or a protein. Quinoa is a starch. No, quinoa is a starch. Quinoa has more carbs than rice. It's a starch. It happens to have some protein, but it's a starch. It's definitely not unlimited. Like typically a serving is like, it depends on the person, like between a quarter cup to one cup measured cooked is a serving as a starch, not as a protein or a vegetable.
So it's not like a freebie.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go to the next live question. Hi.
Okay, so I've tried like a million things to lose weight and nothing is working. And I could try for like 5 months straight to barely eat anything and the weight creeps off so slowly it's driving me nuts. So I guess I have a million questions. I don't know what I want to ask, but I am curious about your Vitafin. Could you tell me a little bit about it? And maybe that's the next thing I should try. I'm not sure.
Sure. I just want to go back for a second. Like when you say that nothing is working, do you mean that it's literally not working or do you mean that you lose too slow for your liking? Like some people, they could lose a half a pound a week, which would be 25 pounds a year, but they're like, oh, it's not working. But 25 pounds a year is better than nothing. So do you mean slow or like you literally don't lose weight?
Oh, okay, fine. So yes, I do lose weight. But it's hard to be motivated for longer than like 5 months.
You just said motivated,
yes,
right?
It's hard to be motivated for so long when you're losing weight and you're still not at even close to a normal weight for your age and size. And I mean, age and height. So it's just, it's like once you hit a certain point, you just, you know, it's.
I want to throw this question on top of it. I'm embarrassed to ask, so can you ask for me? I'm over 150 pounds overweight, and this has been a lifelong struggle, and diets yo-yos up and down. I don't know even what to do. Every time I try a diet, I don't have the willpower to continue, and I eat the food I'm not supposed to. Can you help me with this? So let's get into the motivation and the drive. So let's say people, they want to, they have the cheshek, they have the rutzen, they really want to lose weight, they really try, they go, they spend the money, they read the books, they go to the coach, they go to the classes. But that thing called motivation, one day, 1 week, 2 weeks, slowly dies down. Let's get into the topic of motivation. What is motivation?
I just want to finish just answering her question because, I want to just tell you that maybe focus on the fact that the fact that you lose slow means that you're not broken, right? Like, you're not one of these rare people that really can't lose weight, right? Like, if it was up to me, people wouldn't really go on the scale because the scale could sometimes mess with our heads, right? Like, it's too much data. Like, you're losing weight. Do you really need to know the nitty-gritty details? No, right? It's going to throw you off, right? To answer your question about Vitathin, what it does is it helps because you're just not thinking about food as much. That's Vitathin, our new weight loss vitamin to suppress appetite. You're not thinking about food as much. Quiets down the food noise. So it's easier to stay on track with your eating when you don't have as much food noise in your head.
All right, okay? Tanya, somebody text me. Why is it different than Ozempic, your pill?
For a lot of reasons. First of all, there are no side effects. So you're not nauseous. You're not feeling gross. You're not feeling exhausted. You're not feeling like you want to throw up or whatever. It's like a very gentle appetite suppressor. You could still eat, but you're fine eating less and there's less food noise and less cravings in your head. And you don't have to inject yourself.
Sounds great.
So my actual question is, when you start taking these pills or Ozempic, right? When you go off of it, you're going to blow up.
When you say these pills, you mean Vitathin?
Yeah.
No, Vitathin is not addictive. I'll tell you the biggest...
It's suppressing your appetite, so when you get rid of the pills, unless you change your actual habits, you're going to eat the same amount you ate before, and now your body's not used to it, so going back to the 30-plus, I'm gaining 30 more.
I'll tell you the difference. This is the biggest issue I see with Ozempic, right? Because obviously, I'm not a Hatzalah member. I don't see the emergencies, right? I'm not there to see. I have Hatzalah member clients who tell me emergencies related to Ozempic. I'm not the one that sees them. But here's what I do see, right? When someone gets off of Ozempic, the craziest thing is that their appetite is not back to what it was. It is 100 times worse than what it was. They become a bottomless pit. They don't know what to do with themselves because they can't stop eating, right? When you get off of a natural vitamin, yeah, you're back to what you were in the past, but you're not 10 times, 20 times, 100 times worse than what you used to be. You don't feel like a bottomless pit.
And you say natural and no side effects. That's like, wow.
It's a vitamin. We worked on it for close to 2 years with a team of pharmacists. We really worked very hard on it. We had a lot of trials. It's completely safe and there are no side effects. Yeah. Which means also that it's not as strong as Ozempic, right? You're not going to lose as fast and as much and you're going to be able to eat. Some people with Ozempic can't eat. But I don't know about you. I would never want to not be able to eat. Like, I enjoy eating. I need to eat to have energy. I don't want to not eat, right? It's not a good thing. People are so proud of it. Like, oh, I just want to not eat. Chas v'shalom, that's sick people that don't eat. I want to be able to eat. I just want to be able to eat the right amount and not too much.
So if it's natural, then people who are not looking to lose a lot of weight, maybe they can take these vitamins.
Even people who are looking to lose a lot of weight, they'll lose their a lot of weight. They'll lose it a little bit slower, but A, safer, B, without the extreme side effects, and then afterwards having to deal with that crazy hunger.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. Hi.
Hi. Okay. I wanted to ask you, about women, in midlife, like 50 plus. I never had an issue with weight before and now it's just like creeping up for some reason.
Okay. Okay. So there's menopause, right? Which plays a huge role on hormones, right? That's the biggest thing with women that age. Every stage in life has its own, you know, but that's the thing with that age, that it's mostly hormones. It's menopause and it's hormones, which doesn't mean you cannot lose. You just have to be okay with losing a little bit slower than you lost, let's say, 10 years ago.
So it's frustrating. It's hard to keep motivation like that.
Motivation. You see, that word keeps coming up.
We can answer the motivation question.
It's not a question. If everybody stops looking for motivation, right? Like, okay, I'll just give you a quick analogy, okay? For those of you who have kids in school, you know, for girls, there's something called GO, right? Everybody knows what that is. For a girl's school, GO, right? They do the Hanukkah sale, the donut sale, the Rosh Chodesh thing, rah, 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 themes, cute, fun, right? Imagine if your kid only was motivated to go to school when there's a GO event that day. Otherwise, they don't want to go to school, right? Like, that's what I always compare it to. You have to go to school whether there's GO that day or not. Why? Because that's what responsible people do, right? Just like you have to go to work even if there's no free lunch that day, right? So, or go to shul when there's no kiddush, right? for the men, right? So I think everyone has to learn to stop looking for motivation. I know it's easier said than done, but like if we just get that word out of our like needs, I think we'll be better off.
I'd like to speak
again, a little bit also to this idea of motivation, you know, just to add to it, you know, if instead of, let's change the word that we use from motivation to commitment. You know, when a person is committed to something, you know, it's like as if they give their word to it. So when I'm committed to being the healthiest version of myself, so it doesn't matter whether if I'm doing the steps that are within my power, which is that I'm eating right, I'm nourishing my body properly, then it doesn't really matter whether the movement on the scale is a little bit or a lot. At least I can just look at the fact that over this past week, I took care of my body. I'm already the person that I wish to be, you know, and it's not a question of, okay, when am I, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there already? You're already there. You just have to recognize, and if you change your mentality about who you are and what kind of person is the person who honors their commitments to themselves and to all those that depend on them, then that can be much stronger than motivation.
I agree, 100%.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. Hi.
Hi, so I just wanted to ask, is it worth it if someone, let's say, wants to lose 40 pounds or so, or something like a nice amount of weight, is it worth it to go on like a really intense diet and try to like get down to that weight and then like switch the diet to do something more like to keep it at that weight? Or is it worth it to just go straight to like the second diet, like a calmer, something to like keep for long term?
That's a very good question. So what happens when we eat too little, right? Like when we do an extreme or when we eat too little, we mess up our metabolisms and our metabolisms can never fully go back to what they were. We could fix them a little bit, but we can never go back to what they were. And I meet people all the time who have done extremes and have messed with their metabolisms, and their metabolisms are never going to be what they were. The longer you do it, the more extreme it is, the more you are messing with your metabolism. So if someone has a chasana in 2 weeks and she just must fit into a dress, fine. But if you're not in a rush and if you could do it the right way, just do it the right way. Do your metabolism a favor and do it the right way.
Okay, we're going to take a little pause for a minute and we're going to go to this person. Amir. Hi, Saul.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hi, Tanya.
The floor is yours. Undisturbed.
Oh, am I making it? I didn't realize what I'm doing.
Can I give an introduction?
Please, that would be better.
Okay. Saul is one of our favorite. Sorry, everyone, but that's just the truth. Saul is one of our favorite male clients. He's a role model. He's amazing. If he didn't have like a million full-time jobs, we would hire him in a second. He's just amazing and he's a great success story. He's living and breathing what he's done. So he did us a favor by coming on for a few minutes and, sharing.
Thanks, Tanya. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I mean, I'm just here for Tanya. I'm a believer in what the program is about.
So can you give us a little background about your history and about why you're such a big chassid?
Yeah, I'm going to. I want to. I grew up very, very skinny. It was never a problem for me. Eating a box of donuts for snack, Entenmann's donuts, Kalv Stam, no problem. Pounded a whole box. What happened was as I got older, my body didn't agree with it. And after I got married, I started going up in weight. So I was probably close to like 165 when I got married, which is, you know, normal, whatever. And by the time I walked into Tanya's office, November 26, 2019, but who's counting, right? I was about 220 pounds. So it just kept skyrocketing. And I tried a lot of diets. The problem is that I like my junk food. I like my cookies, my muffins. I like the stuff. I like pizza. And I can't live on Brussels sprouts and, you know, string beans my whole life. So we sat together and we made a program of what would work for me. And it just started go, it's just, you know, slowly started disappearing. I'm not going to say it happened by itself. I had to work. And we sat every week and we talked about what I ate. We went over my logs. And here I am. What is it? Almost, I think it's, what is it? 5 years. Yeah. We just hit 5 years, Tanya. It's our 5 year thing here. So,
right.
I went down all the way from 220 to 175 was my lowest. And I'm fluctuating within, you know, 10, 12 pounds, but, normally it's a game changer for me. I'll tell you, November 26th, I started Tanya, the diet, not the safer. And then it was January 5th, 2020, maybe, what is that, a month and a half later, maybe less, a month and 10 days when Dafyomi cycle started. I never was able to do Dafyomi. And I started with the Dafyomi cycle. I haven't missed a day since I started November and January 5th, 2020. So I feel, to me personally, dieting is not about dieting. It's about discipline. And discipline, to me, I have a phrase I call it infectious discipline. Discipline is infectious. When you feel it, you know it. You know you're doing the right thing. You feel good about yourself. And the opposite is true. When you have four donuts on a Hanukkah at one sitting, you just feel horrible about everything. And it bleeds into everything else you do. That's my,
What happened to your junk food?
My junk food, you said?
Food. He replaced it with our snacks.
Oh, I eat junk food every day. I have the muffins, the cookies. Tanya has everything that I want.
Wow.
The bottom line is you have a regimen of food that you eat. You have a mahalach. What, I guess there's not everything is Brussels sprouts, right? You do have some geschmack of food also. You can get a slice of pizza here and there.
Sure. I'm allowed pizza. First of all, the program, we have pizza. So I just had my pizza last night. But even once a week, you're allowed. That's a great thing. Once a week, you're allowed to have a regular slice of pizza.
What happens if the once a week you go for pizza, but then happens to be you're in a pizza store another two times that week? You're going to sit there and not touch the pizza?
I won't go to the pizza store. In my life, I will tell
you. Let's say you have to be there.
Pizza stores have other options. You know, they don't only have pizza.
We had a Shabbos Hanukkah party, and there was 40 people around my dining room table, much Shabbos, and there was pizza and French fries and ice cream, and I found it so hard when 40 people around you are eating, and I was eating grapes.
Just get Fleishik's next time.
That's actually I have a term, I call it OPP, other people's patterns. You don't want to get it sucked into OPPs. You're at Simchas, and because this guy's fressing doesn't mean that that's going to work for me, and it's going to mess up my routine. So my whole... I don't say my whole life because I have other things in my life, but a large part of my day, I'm going tomorrow to a meeting early in the morning. I just finished packing my entire knapsack. I have a knapsack. It looks like I'm carrying a computer. People think it's a laptop. Tanya's seen it. I walk around with it everywhere. It's a staple of me. I don't go anywhere without my bag.
One of the things about dieting, so I want to make sure we're on the same page. A lot of people say this, is that there's a lot of meal planning food versus not when you're just going to run into a restaurant or pick something up on a go. You are a little bit thinking about what I'm going to eat for supper there. Like when you go to chasen, you're trying to figure out like, okay, so a lot of people do this that are on diets or trying to be healthy. They'll have a regular supper and they go to chasen. They don't eat at the chasen or they'll just have soup or something. They're not going to eat 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, the chicken and the meat. Their meal, Tanya, is meal planning a part of living a healthy lifestyle?
Is any planning part of being successful in anything that you do? Right? You know, everyone understands it when it comes to packing up their kids, planning for a business meeting, planning for work. The second you tell people to plan a little for their dieting, they're like, what? Like, hello, like you do it for everything else, right? Why is it okay for everything else? It's basically anything you want to be successful at, you got to plan a little bit, right?
Saul, do you do any exercise?
I exercised even when I was overweight, but I realized pretty quickly that I can out-eat my exercise any day. So I can eat 5,000 calories at a sitting at a Hanukkah party. I can't work out 5,000 calories in one. I will never outrun my eating. So I exercise my whole life, always, since I'm probably 23, I've been exercising. Elliptical, bike, treadmill, whatever my knees allow me to do. But it's the food intake, and Tanya's right about this. It's 100% in the planning. Everywhere I go, I do have to think. To you, it sounds like what a burden you have to think about everywhere you go. I want to, because I don't want to be stuck with the Snickers bar at an airport. I'm not going to feel good about myself. So I want to know that I have my healthy bars that I can eat. It's liberation. It's not being locked up. It's quite the opposite.
Amazing. Thank you, Saul. just want to mention, we had a program, Coach Menachem, with John Dimitri, and he said something very interesting, and I think we could apply it to dieting. He said, basically, anything that we have values for, everybody wants to be healthy, everybody wants to be on diet, everybody wants to exercise, there's nobody who says not. But our priorities is like, in theory, you want to do it. If you were able to change your priorities, it's something that you need to do, or something you have to, or something that has more value to you, you're going to actually do it. Problem is, we say it in a more of like, that's the way we're trained to say it, and we mean to say it, but when it comes to the mindset, the actual push and the motivation actually to do it, it's not really there. It's more in theory. So he said, and I think it's true, I think if, like, let's say Hashem, somebody knows if they don't lose 40 pounds by this date, they're going to have to take heart medication, or they're going to be a diabetic shooting themselves with insulin, they will work really hard to lose that weight. But we look at it like, is it really going to happen? I don't know. We'll see. It's not really a priority. But if it really was a priority, you know this is going to happen. Hashem, I don't want to give an example. Guy is going to have a heart attack if you're this amount of weight at this date. We're going to work it out. We're going to exercise. We're not going to eat the pizza. It's just we don't really, whatever. Okay, let's go to the next live question. Thank you, Saul.
Thank you, Saul.
Hi. I didn't use Ozempic. I use Mounjaro, which is, I'm sure it's sort of along the same line. And I've been overweight for 40 years, fluctuating between maybe 40 and 50 pounds overweight. And I tried different points to change my diet, but it didn't really work out. So well. And I take it, and I've lost the 40 pounds. And it's also, but it has allowed me to feel good about exercising. And I did go off it for a while. While my appetite did come back, I felt so much better about having lost the weight that I didn't like jump and gain it back right away. Now I did go back on it because I felt comfortable doing it, but are you sure it doesn't work differently for some people than others?
What do you mean by that? In terms of what, which part?
In terms of like the ability after having taken it and having lost the weight. And seeing that where you're at a certain weight and say, oh, I like this weight because everything else that I've tried until that point hasn't worked. You know, that's the way it seems to have worked for me. I'm down 40 pounds. I've started an exercise regimen. And I know that you said that, but it's helped me, you know, not only keep my weight off, but tone me a little bit. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but if people had the discipline in the first place, and I understand your program will help them, that wouldn't that be, wouldn't they have done that already?
So you're saying that because you didn't gain the weight back, is that what you're saying?
I haven't gained the weight back when I went off it for about a month. Okay. I may have gained a few pounds back, but nothing significant. And I started taking it again. And
why did you start taking it again?
Because I felt more comfortable I didn't think I was ready not to take it on a continuous basis at this point. I wouldn't mind taking maybe a lesser dosage at this point, because it does make my stomach a little bit upset. But I haven't stopped working. I haven't stopped, you know, doing the thing. In fact, I've done more because I felt like I could exercise as a result because my weight was down. I didn't feel like it was. It was inhibiting me from exercising, and I've started to do that. So, I understand the value of being able to be disciplined and being able to get started, but if you can't get disciplined in the first place, that's where I'm coming from.
So I get what you're saying, but if you only stayed off of it for a month, we don't really know what you're going to be like for more than a month, right? Meaning if you tell me that you were off of it for a year and you're still doing great, then I would say that's amazing. A month is a little low, like just like you kind of went back on it right away. That's what happens to people. They get scared. They're like, okay, I gained a few pounds. Now I'm going to keep gaining more. And they just get back on it. Right. So a month is nice, but like, I think it would be a better story if it was like a year or more. You know what I'm saying?
I want to just bring another twist. There are a lot of people now that microdosing now, basically just to explain it, what I understand, people go on Mounjaro or they're going on Ozempic. They will lose the weight. And then they go off, they gain part of it back. When they reach a certain number, they start reinjecting on a smaller amounts, and then they lose it again. So they on, off, taking smaller doses. There's different ways how they break it up. Or instead of, like, let's say they take 0.5, they go down to 0.25 or 0.15. they try to manage it on and off of that. Is that better? I'm just putting it out there. A lot of people are doing this now.
I mean, there's is there a lot of data, you know, to really study and see, you know, the long-term efficacy of that. That's what's still unknown. I mean, I know people. I have a very good friend who also went on Mounjaro, and you know, he did amazing. You know, he got great results. And what changed for him though is that he didn't just stop there. He changed his mindset around everything also. So now he's off of it. He doesn't mind the fact that he put back a little bit of extra weight, but he changed his whole approach to eating and to exercise and to health and well-being. This, you know, there are some people that it really works for in that regard. Not everybody, some people just look at it as a shortcut to get to somewhere, and then, you know, then they never really feel that confidence that they can actually take agency and take full control over every aspect of their life from there. And then they could find themselves just in this constant dependency on something that we still don't know a lot about. So, but I congratulations to the caller who, you know, you were able to accomplish something great. I don't think we don't want to in any way, you know, second guess or judge anybody, and we're happy that you've had the experience that you've had. That being said, we still would like to you know, be cautiously have a cautious outlook on it.
Yeah, let's go to the next live question. Yeah.
Hi. I have two questions. Number one, about the Vitathin. Is it completely safe to take even while you're on medication or on multiple medications?
So if you're on medication, we would suggest that you ask us for a picture of the label. We'll send it to you, and you could show it to your doctor just to make sure that it's okay.
Have you had anyone do that, and have they gotten the go-ahead?
Yeah, but again, it's not something I would like take responsibility for. You know, most people that have asked their doctor with anything, with birth control, depression medication, anxiety medication, thyroid, all kinds of medications, most were told yes, but I would really suggest just, you know, message me for the picture of the label and then just show it to your doctor.
Got it. Okay. Another thing, I heard from many, many people who try to lose weight in many different ways, and at the end, the only thing that was able to help them is 12-step program Overeaters Anonymous. So what is your take on that, on the program?
I mean, look, it's not everybody has a food addiction, okay? Some people just really like food. It doesn't mean that they have a food addiction, right? This 12-step program is amazing for people who are addicted to food, because the 12-step program works for addictions, right? But again, not everyone has a food addiction. But if someone does, they should definitely do it. My problem with it is that I find it very degrading, because you have to report to your sponsor the night before what you're going to eat the next day, down to the detail of which fruit. Like if you commit to an apple, right, for example, and then you end up having an orange, right, even if you're on day 487 of being clean, as they call it, or whatever, you now go back to day one because you were supposed to have an apple and you had an orange, right? I find that very demoralizing and degrading.
What I actually hear from people in the program is that it's actually extremely freeing. Like Sal said, it's very freeing to know that it's on paper and this is what I'm going to eat, and I don't have to think.
I don't think it's freeing to have to commit to which fruit you're going to eat. I think it's freeing to learn how to make your own choices. Sometimes a client will sit in a session and tell me, I'll pay you more if you want. We'll do a double session. Write out for me exactly in detail what I should eat every single day. And I say no, because I wouldn't be helping you. I'm giving you choices. You go choose. You're a mature adult. You make way harder decisions than this every single day, all day. You could choose what you want to eat. Okay. When someone forces you basically to eat an apple or you're off, right? Like, let's say there were no apples. Let's say you were in the airport and they were out of apples and there were oranges and you chose an orange. That's amazing. You should be rewarded and applauded for that. You shouldn't go back to day one. But again, if someone has a food addiction, they absolutely should do a 12-step program. So, you know,
probably most people who try to lose weight and they can't, there is some kind of compulsion over here.
Not always. Some people are emotional eaters, which doesn't mean they're addicted to food. I do a lot of emotional eating work with people one-on-one and in groups. It doesn't mean it's an addiction. It means that they have emotional eating tendencies. That's not necessarily an addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the 12-step program helps for that also.
To an extent. It's very intense. It's really, really, really extreme and intense. And it definitely slows down people's metabolism because the program itself, like what they tell you to eat, is so little food.
They're different programs. They're different types of always, you know, there's OA 90, there's Gracie, there are different types of program. Not everything is very little food.
Right. I'm saying I know from like when clients come and, you know, I ask them what they've done in the past, I do see that people who have done those kinds of extremes, they definitely lose slower. I see it all the time.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
You're saying people should have, you know, we teach people how to have self-control. There are those people out there who feel that they don't want to have any choices. They leave me out of this, tell me exactly what to eat, and maybe for them the 12-step program works. They don't want to think about it. I don't want to be part of this. So I guess everybody should see where. And this is a question that came in. Maybe it could be a continuation. I have a big family, and I'm constantly cooking schnitzel and fries for my kids. How can I realistically eat healthy when it feels impossible to make separate meals for myself?
Okay, that's a very good question. You know, when you make schnitzel and fries, you don't have to like make yourself like boring grilled chicken and eat a salad, right? You could take that same schnitzel and just air fry it or bake it, right? You could still have the breadcrumbs. You could take those same French fries and air fry them or bake them, right? I'll tell you a funny phenomena that happens. Like for those of you who have kids who are mothers, you know this, like your kids will end up wanting what you're eating. They're going to be like, oh, I like mommy's air fried chicken, right? Your whole family might, you know, the woman has a lot of power. Like you as the mom, you have a lot of power. So like you'll see, don't say anything. Don't, you know, don't try to convince them, whatever. Just do your thing, right? And all of a sudden you'll see they're going to start asking for the air fried chicken. So don't make it complicated. Just make like a little of like a modification. That's all.
So you're saying it's possible. Again, it's a lot of education. People need to be educated to know what's right and what's wrong and to see that it is possible.
I think that most people know what to eat and they know what's right and what's wrong. I think that most women don't put themselves on, forget as the number one, they don't put themselves on the priority list, period. Like they're just not there. And I tell them, if your husband or your kid was on a diet or needed to lose weight or whatever, you would in a second grill that chicken for them or bake that chicken for them or make a salad for them. So how come when it comes to yourself, it's too much, right? So shout out to women who do a million things, okay? But just put yourself on the priority list because if you're not going to be healthy, you're not going to be able to do as much for your family as you do now, okay? And when you're healthy, like Saul said with learning Daf Yomi, I think it was Daf Yomi, right? What was it? Daf Yomi?
Yep.
Like when you have, when you take care of yourself, a lot of things fall into place. So it's not selfish to take care of yourself.
What happens with medication? Somebody sent in, they started taking medication and they feel bloated. Since they had take medication, they can't seem to lose weight as they used to
kind
before.
Of medication?
Doesn't say.
Ozempic, or you're saying?
No.
Oh.
Let's say
okay.
Antidepressants, any type of medication.
Look, if you need antidepressants, you need antidepressants, right? What are you going to do? But it doesn't mean that you can't lose weight. But I do want to say, side point, I'm not saying anybody should not take medication. If you are prescribed medication, take your medication. But I want to mention that exercise is the best antidepressant, okay? And I think that any therapist that does not talk about exercise is not fully doing his or her job. Because I teach classes. I give aerobics classes 3 times a week in my place for 20 years. I see how women walk in one way and walk out another way. In the beginning, you would think that they don't even like me or like each other. Everybody's like, hi, everybody's like barely moving. By the end, everyone's like, hi, bye, great class, have a good day, love you, bye. Right? It just makes you so happy, and it's not a fake happiness. It's endorphins. It's real. It's really real. Actually, this is a good time. My amazing client and exercise goer, Rivka, is on the Zoom, and she comes to my classes almost all the time, and we talk about this all the time. I think this is the perfect time to have her come on if she's ready.
Rivka Klein. Hi, Rivka.
Hi.
I'm mute.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Rivka.
Okay, so what can I add? What can I say? First of all, I believe, like with everything in life, it's a mindset. Whatever you set your mind to do, it can work. Is it hard? Is it a struggle? It could be sometimes. Yeah, you're tempted and you're a human being, but it's also addictive. The more you get into it, the more you do it. And I have to add from my experience and from a lot of people what I hear similar about saying, there is something about Tanya's program. It's a very friendly program. It's very doable. It's not like a lot of nutritionists. It's like people are literally scared when they have their weigh-in. Here it's, yes, if you didn't do so good that week, or it's fine. It's not end of the world. It's not like, oh my God, I failed. I'm done. I'm finished. It's over. It's only a little mistake if it happens, but in general, it's such a friendly diet. It's like I happen to go out to eat a lot because I socialize, and you can, because every restaurant has salads and has fish and has chicken and has even fruits for dessert. You don't have to be deprived. It's just a very livable way of life. I know it's called diet, but it's not diet. It's a way of life. It's not stopping me from doing anything. And the exercise, I couldn't vote more. What it does to your brain, to your mental health, it's...
Rivka, is exercise the best antidepressant?
1,000,000%. I exercise 7 days a week. Even on Shabbos, I take walks. It's what it does to a person. It's the number one healing.
1,000%. It's amazing. We always say we feel bad for people who don't exercise. Like, what do they do to feel good? Like, I mean, other than eat, which feels good for
a good sandwich.
That's what I just said, but that feels good for 30 seconds. When you exercise, you feel good all day long.
But by the way, as I said before, you can have a sandwich. Today there is breads with such low calories. You can have almost everything. And Tanya offers so many different type of snacks, and the supermarkets are full of interesting low calories options. You can have it. You're not deprived. You don't have to sit there and feel sorry for yourself. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. You can have everything.
Mark.
Thank you, Rivka. Okay, let's go to the next
one.
Hold on 1 second. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
So I'm 28 now, and since I was a teenager, like, I've been struggling with, you know, making good food choices. And over the years, I've been through different diets where I really learned a lot. And what recently worked for me the past couple of years was, like doing your diet and just seeing how you can have muffins, cookies, and like still stay in a good, you know, your weight can still stay in a good place. And being more active, like I used to not walk or do any workouts. And I feel like when I do that, then I'm in much better shape. I just had my first baby a few months ago, and I have like 30 pounds to lose. And I, you know, want a diet, but I just feel like whenever I want to get back and start thinking of having a food plan, I get like into this like scarcity mindset, and I start getting obsessed with food as opposed to like when I'm thinking I'll just eat, like I'll try to eat well because I know I feel better, but then I don't get obsessed. So like, is that a normal thing, and what can I do about it?
So you're saying when you start to think about being on a plan, you start to feel deprived?
I don't know if it's deprived, because honestly, with muffins and acai bowls and all the good stuff, you can call it deprived, but I just feel like I always have to think about, will I have this food I need to have, that food that I need to have, and like, just makes me think about food all day, as opposed to when I could just like, you know, go about my day and see what I'll eat. I'm not thinking about it the whole time.
Right. So you mentioned you just had your first baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a good analogy for you. Like, you know, before your baby, like if your husband or your friend said, let's go to Florida tomorrow, you could just pick up and leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you have a baby, you have to figure out either packing up the baby, where's the passport if you're going overseas, does the baby have a passport, or who's going to watch the baby, right?
Right.
Thing, you have to take the baby with you. Like a baby adds all these like extra layers of things you need to do, right?
Mm, definitely.
Right. But at the same time, like a baby is a beautiful thing and you're happy you have a baby, right?
Right.
So it's, that's how I think of this. Like if you think of it not as like a schlep and an annoying thing, you think of it as like, okay, great. I get to take care of myself. I get to lose weight in a healthy, normal way. Okay. So it comes with extra things to do. Okay. So does everything, right? If you go on vacation, yeah, you need to pack. If you have a baby, you need to think about the baby, right?
Right.
So instead of like, oh, poor me, it's like, okay, if this is what I want to do and I'm choosing to do it, no one's forcing me, then great. Okay. I'll do what it takes to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like you have to feel like you're ready for it, or you just say like dive in and it'll just happen if the will is there, but like you don't feel like fully ready?
No one's ever like, you know, the people that think they're fully ready, that's what I call like that motivation that lasts like a couple of days and then it kind of like wears off, right?
Right.
Right. Like don't overthink it. Obviously, you know, sometimes people come to us and they're like, I had a baby 3 days ago. I'm ready. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, right.
Right.
But if your baby is already a few months old and you're feeling okay and you're physically fine, then don't overthink it. It's just get into it. That's all. Don't overthink it.
Hey, and just thank you. And one other thing about the scarcity mindset, is that something like you see in clients, or could it be something like that? I was thinking about these things when I was like a young teenager and it sort of like left an impact on me.
We should ask the coach. This is like a psychology question, I think, right? I don't know. It could be either. It could just be like what you associate with dieting or like diet baggage or whatever it is. But like really logically, you know, that's not the case because you know, it's a normal plan. You know, it's not like you don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a normal plan. I think also like we're living in a society where we're used to like just having so much, right? Of everything. Like God forbid on Hanukkah, sesame should have 12 flavors and not like 18 flavors, you know, like, we're so used to so much that we freak out when it's like a little less than so much, but it's still a nice amount, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So just don't overthink it. Just, you know, go for it. Don't overthink it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mike, just a minute. Michael, if you could tell us, where do you find the men have, where they struggle and where you can help them with their mindsets, not only with, relationships of food, but in general, like we heard the Tafiyami.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great concept that was mentioned, that when you are fueled by what it is that you're doing, and it changes the way that you look at yourself and the story that you tell yourself about yourself. You know, so then therefore, if I look at myself as I am a person who does this, then naturally the being ends up doing, right? Usually we have it kind of in reverse order. I actually learned this from Rabbi Yom Tov Glazer, that, you know, we think that, okay, if I do something, then I become somebody else. But if you really focus on really just changing how you look at yourself, and you make yourself into that being, then the person who is that will, the doing ends up following that. So most of the men that I speak to, very often, you know, they look at themselves as, you know, pretty much a totally disempowered by the situations. You know, they're running around, you know, every night is another simcha, they have a vachnach, then they have a sheva brachos, and they have a bar mitzvah, and then there's Shabbos and there's yontiv, and everybody's sitting around and for bringing, and you know, there's no way to break out of that cycle. So there's that, you know, the previous caller mentioned that scarcity mindset. This, all of a sudden there's this feeling that like, oh wait, if I have to withdraw from myself from that, so then, you know, then I can't really be present. And, you know, this is something that a person can break out of that cycle by just, by really taking the opportunity to really turn inward and really practice, you know, there are various, different mindfulness techniques that I think have been mentioned on this show in past weeks as well, where a person could ask themselves, okay, well, really, what is the purpose of this eating? Why do I need to, why is it calling me? Why is this food or this experience speaking to me? And when you start to really center in, but the thing is, you know, many men aren't really, we're not used to it. We're not educated in these techniques. We're not really thinking about that. It was just that this is what we do culturally. I go down to Kiddush and then I have, you know, and it's Hanukkah. And of course, you know, there's all these donuts and therefore I'm going to eat, you know, without really stopping and saying, okay, am I really enjoying this food? Is it the best thing that I've ever had? Or is it something that I'm just doing it because that's what everybody else is doing? So that's usually like where many men are struggling, is just like going with the flow and seeing, you know, this is what everybody else is doing. What, you know, it's kind of like not fair that, like, why shouldn't I also be, you know, be having that opportunity? And then some of it is values based. You know, there's this, you know, a lot of old feelings as far as, you know, what it means to, you know, what the real definition of Baal Tashlis is. You know, it's like, you know, there's all this food. I don't want it to go to waste. So instead, it'll go to my waste. You know, so, you know, these are some of the things that men tend to justify why they're not doing something about it. But, you know, it's, if they really will be, if I would really be honest with myself about what's happening here, then I can really think a little bit bigger about the situation.
They only feel empowered if they see it working. But if it's a struggle and they're trying and it's not working, if they don't feel good about themselves and about anything around them.
Right. And that, so I think we can really, the question is, how do we define when something's not working? You know, if we're looking at, you know, well, the only solution is that I have to drop these 20 pounds and fast, and it's not happening fast enough. You know, that's probably the one struggle that most of my clients will ask me about, like, okay, how do we make this go faster? And I always say, hey, well, hold on a second. Why does it need to go faster? What is it about you that would in your mind, what is it that, what's the story that you're telling yourself about the fact that I will only feel like I'm successful once I hit this goal, and that anything short of that goal, or if it's taking longer than I should anticipate what normal is, you know, is considered unsuccessful. Like, why does it have to be that way? You could really ask yourself, okay, well, just the fact that I spent this time really nourishing myself and really connecting to the food that I'm eating, that it's, you know, it's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, the ability to really enjoy this food is an opportunity that I can take right now, and it has nothing to do with you know, going ahead and overindulging. That's not the, that's not.
In that has our not... society, I just want to mention, Lord is saying that for the men, I don't know, the women have their own things, but for the men, between the Kiddush and Shul and the Kiddush by the friend's house, and then going to the Bris and then the Vachnach, and it's just one big fest of Cholent, Kugel, sesame chicken, 24/7 going down your throat. There's like no time to breathe. There's never like getting together without like overweight, fat, MSG food. It's like in your face 24/7. And it's almost like social eating. Like I see people are eating. I don't even know if they know what they're eating. Like the cake is down the throat. They're like, it's not even true. It's like, it's a social eating and it's our habits. And again, I'm not saying we can't change the world, but it's like, it's so weird that everything has to be so strongly food based. It has to be like, you know what I mean? You can't just have a get together and put out like, you know, a few tiny muffins or something. And I mean, I'm just saying, but it has to be like also like heavy, heavy. It's funny because by us, we had when a few guys were on a diet, they made like a salad section, you know, for the diet section, like healthier food. But I don't know why it's
serve, not. We should serve Tanya Kiddush.
I'm saying, I think that if people start being a little bit more aware that not everybody has to eat the same four things that we keep on eating, that's not healthy. Give the option of salads, even by Kiddush, give a choice of just proteins or something else that's not dripping in oil. Well, why can't that become the new norm if we are respecting people's health and people like, you know what I mean?
What about the fact that in yeshiva, right? In yeshiva and in schools and whatever, what do teachers and rabbeim reward with, right?
Soda cans.
What?
Soda cans.
Soda cans, candy, right? Why not?
And the kid is jumping out of the seat and they're screaming. The kid has ADHD.
Why not a plus two on their test? Why not a free recess? Why not whatever? I don't know what. Like, why is everything food, right? It starts even earlier when our kid falls down. Oh, you got a boo-boo? You want a candy, right? Like, we do it to our own kids. We literally train them from when they're babies that everything is food.
Yeah.
And who is it serving? I mean, that's really what we have to ask ourselves. The fact that you have a hot kiddish about 30 minutes before you can eat your sudo, like, who are we really serving when we do that? And, you know, I never
understood the kiddish. To me, the whole kiddish thing is mind-boggling. Like, you have a massive meal at home, challah, liver, chicken, a million things, but they're serving not like a little piece of kugel, a little herring, like the expectations and to show off or whatever it is became so like you could eat like a whole meal multiple times before you get home. Like it's so crazy. It's such a waste of money and so stupid, to be honest. Okay, there's a lot of live questions. I just want to bring up one topic. People keep on texting. It's a very hot topic by people. Intermittent fasting, people that don't eat for 16 hours, whether it's 8 at night till whatever, it's 8 and 10 in the morning. What's Tanya and Michael's general feeling of intermittent fasting, like taking 16-hour breaks from supper till the next day?
So it's, you know what it is? Like, if you want to do it the right way, then don't eat after dinner, right? Like, you finish dinner, don't eat after dinner, and then you'll eat in the morning, right? And you don't even have to call it a fancy name. It's just common sense, right? But it's sort of like people used to take a bath and just take a bath, and now when people take a bath, they call it self-care and hashtag it, right? That's what this is. That's what intermittent fasting became. Like, you want to do it the common sense way, don't eat after dinner. When you skip breakfast and lunch and then tell yourself, like, I'm eating from 3 o'clock and on, most people will not lose weight because A, you need to eat in the morning to get your metabolism going, and B, you feel like, I better get it all in. I only have like 6 hours. I've hardly ever seen someone successfully intermittent fasting, and I believe in eating every couple of hours. And if you want to do intermittent fasting or whatever, if you want to use that word, or just common sense, just don't eat after dinner. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, I mean, listen, I've seen some people that have been successful with it, but, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, you know, just in the Jewish lifestyle of things, you know, there are times that we have to eat at night. I mean, it's, as Tanya mentioned, it's really, you always want to be avoiding eating before close to the time that you're going to sleep, because your metabolism pretty much shuts down at that point, and then the food just sits and the body is not breaking it down properly, and it's just contributing to a backlog in your digestive system. So you always want to try to do what you can to avoid eating late at night. But, you know, there are some times, like, what's the person going to do on Shavuos night? What's the person going to do on those late Shabbosos? You know, I just from a practical standpoint, I don't really, it doesn't, to me, it just doesn't really seem like a desirable way to adopt that as a realistic way of being for the rest of your life. Again, I mean, what we really talk about is finding the proper balance now that is the way you're not going on a diet in order to lose weight. You're changing your habits and your approach to eating so that this way it becomes your way of life for the rest of your life in a way that's balanced and
I just want to say one thing though, that if someone comes to us and says, look, I want to work with you, but I really want to do Ozempic, or I really want to do intermittent fasting. Like, we don't not support them, right? Like, we will work with you in whatever it is you do. We'll say our opinion and we will help you maximize whatever it is you choose to do, but we'll tell you that we just don't recommend it.
My understanding, I just want to make sure I understand correctly, is that when we stop eating after supper, let's say somebody finishes 6, 7, whatever time at night you're done, your body, your stomach needs like 3 hours to process the food. When people are eating at 10, 11 o'clock at night, a big schnitzel sandwich, they go to sleep with that in their stomach the next 3-4 hours while they're sleeping is working through the food, so they're burning their food, not the calories in their body, because a lot of people lose a lot of weight during the night. And also, you're not sleeping properly because your stomach is not resting, it's actually working very hard, so you wake up very tired and not feeling well. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, it's a very good simple English way of explaining it. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to summarize my life and my eating, and then I want some questions. Okay. So since I'm a teenager, I've been changing my habits, eating healthy, I lost weight, then I lost more weight that I needed. Now I'm over 50, and it's very, very hard to go back 10 pounds, let's say. Like, I look good, but I weight less, so I want to go back to what I weighted. Two questions. One is, eating always the same, if it's a problem, and also having reduced my eatings, like I eat the 5 or 6 meals and they are already limited. If that, you know, you mentioned, I think that you answered to someone, if I damage already my metabolism and now it's like impossible to go down. Also, during the week, I'm busy, so I can keep that schedule and eat that little portion or enough portion, whatever, my portion. I don't think that I eat so little because my salad is big, but I eat healthy food. But then on Chavez, I always gain like 2-3 pounds only by eating regular food on Chavez because it's much, much more food than what I eat during the week. So the question is eating always the same is a problem? Like always my breakfast is almost the same. My lunch is always the same. Like my snack, I eat every day and it doesn't bother me. I like what I eat.
So she's content with eating the same 3 meals every single day. Is that a problem? That's what she's asking.
Eating the same foods?
Yeah, the same foods.
As long as you're getting all the nutrients, meaning if every meal has protein, fiber from fruits or vegetables, some carbs, as long as it's a balanced meal, you could eat the same thing every day.
Okay. And what about if I already, I don't say break my metabolism, but because I eat so little, it will be harder to, you understand? If you, let's say you're accustomed to eat carrots, you know, like when you know, like what else I can do? I can eat less.
So when we try to fix someone's metabolism, like if someone has a very slow metabolism, it's basically like teaching them how to walk again. Right? Like you have to do baby steps and then more steps. So I'll give you an extreme example. Like I had a client that for 1 year, all she ate was cucumbers. So anything, because not when she was working with us, but when she had like her eating disorder or she was going through stuff, all she ate was cucumbers. So anything besides cucumbers, her body was literally not handling it. So for a week, we added peppers and 2 ounces of chicken. The next week we added tomatoes and 3 ounces of chicken, right? Like, literally like baby step, baby step, baby step until we built her back up to help her eat everything. But it's each person is individual. We have to assess what you're doing now and then add very, very, very slowly, like baby steps.
Yeah, one thing I'll also add is just as far as, I mean, I eat the same breakfast pretty much every single day also. So as long as Tanya mentioned, as long as you're not bored with it, then that's fine. One area that maybe you want to make sure to have a lot of variety in is as far as fruits, because of the fact that, you know, the way that Hashem created fruits, each one has, you know, each one has its own milos. Each one has, the different nutrients and different vitamins that are not necessarily found in as good supply in some of the other ones. You always want to make sure to have a good variety of fruits, especially over the course of a week, but even of course over the course of a day. Don't like just pound the same, you know, apples all the time, even though you like apples. You know, you want to make sure to get some vitamin C from citrus fruits. You want to make sure to get good antioxidants.
Any negativity with the sugars and fruits, or we're totally good with sugars and all fruits?
There are fruits that have more sugars and more carbs, so we call it a limited list. Like, let's say, like, cherries, grapes, mango, pineapple. Like, those fruits we would recommend to have a half a cup portion versus a full cup or a full fruit.
What about blueberries, low in sugar?
Blueberries, we say to have a cup. Strawberries, a full cup. Grapefruit is a full grapefruit.
Okay. Let's go to the next question. How are you?
I have two questions. First of all, if there's no side effects for the Vitafins, how come it's not FDA approved?
Supplements and vitamins are never FDA approved. It's just not applicable. The FDA doesn't get involved with any supplements or vitamins, so it's just not applicable.
Uh-huh. And then also my other question was, I did your diet and I was very successful. I lost like 60 pounds. Yeah. But I'm having an issue where Like, I'm still, like, on it, but every time, let's say, I overeat a little bit, like, we're not even talking crazy, the next day I'm 2 pounds over, and, like, why is that?
Because you're checking the next day. Don't check the next day. Give it a little time. You see, that's why I hate the scale in a way, because it throws people off so much. Like, it just messes with your head. Like, when I overeat, I don't go on the scale the next day. Why would I do that? I just get back on track first. And then I only weigh myself once a week. And then by the time I check on that once a week, I'm back to normal, right? Just don't go on scale the next day. That's all.
But what's like the long-term plan? Cause like I know like I went off of it and then I ended up like gaining weight back and things like that. Like what, like do you see success in the long term? Like,
yeah, basically, I know you don't want to hear this, but for the rest of your life, you will have to be careful. Now there's different levels of careful. Like you don't have to be as careful when you were losing the weight as the way you have to be when you're maintaining. You could be a little looser, but you can never just eat whatever you want and expect the weight to stay off. Neither can I, like neither can most people. Like it's, you know, if you want to maintain the weight loss, you do have to be careful forever and ever and ever and ever.
It doesn't mean that you can't ever enjoy yourself one day here and there, but just, I mean, the, you know,
don't go on the scale the next day.
You know,
even if I don't, when I go to the end of the week, it's still higher.
So it depends on how much you're indulging, right? Like when we do a maintenance plan with someone, we plan it. It's not random. It's not like, you know, whatever, do whatever you want. Like it has to be strategic, just like anything else, you know?
Right.
But of course, that's the way it goes. You know, if you're not careful, 1,000%, you know, like nobody could just do whatever they want and just keep the weight off just because they lost it, you know?
It's not a cure. It's a, you know, a good analogy here is like, you know, if somebody is having financial difficulty and, they've racked up a lot of credit card debt and, they've gone onto this program and they've learned how to curtail their spending, but still be able to, you know, have the budget for the things that they really want or that they really need. But, you know, over time by being conscious of your spending, you're able to get it to the point where you now are, debt free, but that person, you know, they can't just go back to like, okay, now I can spend money like, and not even, you know, think about what I'm spending on. You know,
but they'll be in debt again. Right. 1,000%. Yeah. Money is always a good analogy for dieting because it's very comparable.
But is there a way to like, make sure that your metabolism doesn't get messed up? Like I feel like people who are on diets, like have a very hard time.
The best way you could ensure to have the best possible metabolism is to eat every few hours, drink a lot of water, do weight resistance, like the kinds of exercises like that are not just cardio but also resistance, and to never crash diet and don't do extremes. That's the only ways you could ensure your metabolism will be as good as your metabolism could be. Not necessarily someone else's metabolism, your metabolism.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
A lot of people are texting about breakfast and people want to know like what's a healthy breakfast, not. Give me like just a few concepts of healthy breakfast. And people are texting also if somebody can really take a protein shake, whether it's a whey protein shake or not, which gives them the protein, gives them low calories and sugar free or very low in sugar. Isn't that a better option than most breakfasts are pretty, again, you can have an egg, have an avocado, you can have one slice of bread, but besides that, there's not much breakfast option.
Well, food. Listen, you want to eat food.
I hear, but if you, again, a day, a lot of people do protein shakes fill you up for half the day.
So let me tell you what my breakfast is every single day. Like pretty much, unless I really have no time, I take a couple of slices of whole wheat bread, toast, some thin, mozzarella, Munster cheese on it. Paola makes the thin, very thin slices. So this way you just, it's only half a gram of cheese right there. So each of them is covered. It tastes delicious coming out of the toaster oven. Along with that, I have a hard-boiled egg or a scrambled egg and a whole lot of vegetables and hummus, and I'm good to go for a good few hours from that.
But a lot of people have a fear of washing, Michael. People are definitely afraid of washing and benching. So, yes. Yeah.
So, it happens to be there. I mean, there is some of the men on the call might know that there is a there's an Indian that's called Pas Shakras. You know, that there's actually a,
I think that bread has to be white bread and has to have minimum 300 calories.
Very funny. People are going to take that seriously now.
Right.
He's joking, everyone. Please note, this is a joke.
Maybe give you a pot chocolates with crackers.
maybe, but it's not my choice. I this is what I like to choose. And also, if you think about it, I mean, listen, when we're eating, and I want to dispel a big notion that a lot of people have. They think that the less you eat, the more weight you lose. And it's really not about eating less, eating more, you know, because the thing, there's so many different factors that go into how our metabolism works. But we eat because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us food that is the source of our nourishment. And when we connect the eating to the very purpose of why we're eating, and we pause ourselves and we say, all right, well, you know what? No, I'm not going to be benchophobic. I'm actually going to sit down. I'm going to wash. I'm going to recognize as I'm washing my hands that I'm preparing my hands for the purpose that
in short, you're talking about conscious eating.
Absolutely.
Mindful.
So, and then I sit down without any distractions, you know, and just like, you know, you want to have like, you know, like in a, and hopefully there'll be windows where you are and just like look out and like really
the sun,
food.
Okay. Can I just say, for all of you thinking that it sounds nice and it's like not happening for you, can I give like quick breakfast options? Cause like, I don't know about Michael's mornings. My mornings do not look like that. Like I have like 2 seconds. Where are you in the morning that you have so much time, Michael? I don't know. But, if you want something like super, super quick, right? A Greek light yogurt, throw in like those little packs of the sunshine granola, like literally just throw it in while you're driving, right? On a red light, whatever. You could do that. You could do like, we have something called a breakfast cookie. That's literally breakfast in a cookie. You could do cereal. I'll tell you the cereals to stay away from. Stay away from anything corn or rice. Anything puffed rice or corn, whether it's cereal, rice cakes, corn cakes, will just spike your blood sugar and just make you hungrier and make you crave more throughout the day. So stay away from that. But you could do like Cheerios, Fiber One, Kashi, right? Put it in like a hot cup, pour some milk over it. Cover it, whatever. You can make a smoothie with a Greek light yogurt or skim milk or almond milk and fruits. That's easy. Like for busy people, I just tell them put it in the blender the night before. Just as you're getting ready, like just hit blend. That's it. It comes in sometimes in those cups that you could just take with you and that's it.
I just want to say that for busy people, whatever they heard you say now is amazing, but they're running all day and if they don't have a plan, they're probably going to eat the wrong stuff. And they're going to be running around.
Everybody needs a plan. Everybody needs a plan.
So going back to Michael, when he said the mindfulness, you actually do have to stop for a moment to say, which plan am I going to start? And we have to be mindful. Yes, we are very busy, but it's part of that balance. So if you're going to be running around, I don't have time. Let me just, what should I say? Blueberries. Okay, let's go. It's not going to work.
So it depends for who, because there are people that if they really do have good intentions, they want to do this morning breakfast bread, like they want to do it, but they really won't, right? So it's
a plan. They need a plan.
Right. Either for some people, quick works, right? Like for some people, that's why we have different options. Like if someone's willing to have bread in the morning, great. If not, there's alternatives. To answer the protein shake thing, a protein shake is fine, but don't think that it's like a diet thing, right? Like people drink it in hopes. Like, you know, all those memes, like I ate a salad, am I skinny yet? It's like the same thing with a protein shake. I drink a protein shake, I'm losing weight. I was giving a lecture somewhere and this woman literally came over to me middle of the lecture in front of like 300 people to show me her shake. This is what I drink every single day, this protein shake. Why am I not losing weight? And I'm like, you don't lose weight from a protein shake, right? So if you like it, if the taste is good and it's filling, it's fine as an option, but don't think of it as like a magic tool that's going to make you lose weight, because it's not.
A few people are texting. They want to know, I'm going to turn to Michael for this, like, give me some concepts for Shabbos. They find Shabbos, between the foods that we are accustomed to eat, what would be like a healthier choices versus what most people are eating? Like, just a few concepts. Like, obviously, we start with the challah, gefilte fish full of sugar, different soups, you know, main courses with potato, apple, cranberry, kugels, about 17 kugels. So what are some healthier Shabbos
options?
I'm not saying what your Shabbos meal is. I'm saying what people do and what we could replace that with. That's really the question.
Okay. Well, I mean, first things first is, and, you know, sometimes I go, maybe I'm not as Tanya-esque on some of this when it comes to Shabbos, but you know, anything that if it's something that you really feel that like, this is my Shabbos, like I can't imagine Shabbos without my wife's potato kugel, and I really can't. You know, so if you're going to mindfully have a small amount, you can actually take, you can extract a tremendous amount of satisfaction from a very small amount, as long as you're really, mindfully enjoying that piece of food. Usually what happens is, you know, Shabbos is just like, you know, the table is just full of things. I want a little of this. I want a little of that. And then before you know it, you know, you're eating a ton of extra stuff, which, you know, and then you forget to enjoy it. So then you have to take some more. So that's the first thing I would say. But like you want to ask yourself, all right, like if I'm going to give myself extra allowances this Shabbos, so, you know, what might they be? You know, again, this is where preparation comes in. It's not just, you know, if you're coming into the meal and you're just like, okay, whatever is there, whatever looks good, I'm going to take from. So then it's more the approach and the attitude than it is the specific foods. However, there are some specific foods that you certainly want to add. And that is, you want to make sure to have a good, healthy supply of all kinds of different vegetables, vegetable dishes and things like that. So go more on the salads and less on the kugels, so that, this way, you know, I mean, there's, you know, everybody has to realize, you know, figure out what works in their home, because, you know, it's sometimes, you know, you can tell your wife like, okay, well, you know what? Don't make 7 kugels this Shabbos because I just can't help myself. But another thing that, that a person could do, also just in terms of fish, I mean, you know, certainly natural fishes like a salmon would be a whole lot better than something like gefilte fish, where it's basically adulterated, chopped, processed fish. So if it's not something that you really, really enjoy, it's just something that you eat for convenience, you know, those are the things that maybe you want to ask yourself, do I really need this as part of my Shabbos food plan, or, you know, can I do without it? You know, so these are some of the things that you could do. Certainly, you know, things that are not, you know, you want to stay away from things which are fried. You want to have things that are more naturally cooked, baked, air fried. You know, don't allow yourself, you know, if a person's going to feel like, okay, Shabbos, I have to restrict myself just like every other day, then, you know, for some people, it may not be sustainable.
Tanya, any Shabbos tips, concepts?
So, you know, Michael had a very good analogy before with money, right? Like if someone was coached on money and saving money and not getting into debt, and then the coach says to them, okay, the things that mean a lot to you, you could still spend on, right? So if that person says, well, my Starbucks means a lot to me, and then the coach says, okay, great, let's work in Starbucks, and my Chanel shoes, oh, and my Ferragamo belt, oh, and I have to go away to Israel for Sukkot, right? Like, chill. Like, you have to figure out, like, what really is important to you, right? Because if it's this, and this, and this, and that, then you're not getting anywhere, right? So you have to be honest with yourself, right? And also, like, just perspective-wise, Shabbos comes every single week, and it's really pretty much the same foods every single week. So I tell people, like, don't have FOMO, fear of missing out. So, like, let's say this week you stay strong and you don't have the gala and the kishka and the liver and the 40 dips. Okay, so next week it's going to be there again. Like, there's nothing that's not going to be there again. So just remind yourself that.
Okay, another question people want to ask me, that's an interesting question. Think about it. So dinners, fleishiks, you could eat grilled chicken, meat, right? It's a lot more options, healthy. For a milchika dinner, right? Everything is pasta and cheese. What would be considered like an overall healthy dairy dinner?
Pasta and cheese, but portioned. So
it's full of starch and full of calories. It's bread. I mean,
right, but portioned. So that's what we do. We portion everything. There's hardly any food that we don't put on the plan. So you could have pasta and cheese, but you have to measure the pasta. So anywhere between half a cup to a cup, depending on who the person is.
That's a very small portion.
Listen, like, you know, you're going to go, most nutritionists would tell you don't eat pasta at all. We're like telling you how much to have. So like, don't get greedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're telling you how to have it. You can't have tons of it, but you can have some of it, right?
Kol halashon.
You know, another option is to take, spaghetti squash or like spiralized zucchini. And then you have like a lot of volume, and melt cheese. Or like a baked potato with cheese is very filling with a salad. We have delicious dairy meals that we sell, like pizza, big ziti, eggplant parmesan, lasagna. You could do a homemade pizza. You could do your once a week pizza from the pizza store. There's definitely options.
I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, when, if you're thinking that your dinner is pasta, So then, yeah, there, you know, I remember when I was in yeshiva and like, you know, okay, so you fill your plate with all the pasta that you can because, you know, you want to make sure you don't want to go home hungry. So then, but you're still hungry. So you go ahead and you take more. If you think about your meal, the bedrock of your meal is the protein and the pasta is just the starch that's on the side. So then, like, as Tanya mentioned, especially if you spruce it up by adding more texture to it, adding more vegetables and things that will give it more volume. So then really you're focusing on the protein. The protein could be fish. It could be something made of more of a, like a legume kind of like a bean burger or something along those lines.
Cheese, veggie burger, beans.
So therefore the pasta or the rice ends up just basically being, you know, you're not fixing the meal based on that. And therefore it is taking the appropriate role on your total plate that it really should be taking.
I also want to say, like, I'm sure people have found themselves in these situations where you're like, I'm not eating pasta. And you sit there with like your salad and your fish and you're like resenting everything. And then you end up like you ate your salad and your fish and then you also ate the pasta, right? Same way like people are like, I'm not touching challah. They eat matzah, and then they still end up eating the challah. If you know yourself and that's going to be you, you may as well just take some of what you really want versus you're going to end up eating both.
What's with after supper? People had a very good supper and it's amazing. They want to try not to eat. But they are so hungry.
Well,
10 o'clock at night, they feel
like the chips and the little sweet, the little licorice.
Something comes up. They just need to eat.
Right. They're gummy bears and sour sticks.
Pretzels.
Right? Gushers. Right.
Whatever.
I've had some 10, 11 o'clock at night Carbotex, like literally right. Not the whole cabinet. All the right. Oreos, like was all over my face. It was terrible.
They get nashi.
Nashis, yeah.
Nashi, yeah. They get the munchies and they get nashi, right? Yeah.
Munchies without marijuana, just munchies.
The Blazer a few weeks ago mentioned sit down, take a drink of a cup of water, and figure out what's bothering you. But that's a lot of work. We just want to eat.
Right.
So what could I eat?
That's where commitment comes back in. You know, you have to ask yourself, like, how committed am I to being the best person that I can be? But that being said, I mean, fruit can be, especially if you have less fruit during the day, then you can save your fruit for the evening. And that can satisfy your sweet tooth while also giving you a little bit of that breath of life. And because fruit actually digests much quicker than the carbs, this way you're not setting yourself up for, you know, a really long night of discomfort and food just sitting around.
Okay, so first of all, if you have any control over what comes into your house, right? So if your kids are little, you have much more control than you think, right? Because you're like choosing what to bring into the house. And everyone who keeps saying it's for the kids, it's for my husband, it's blah blah blah, like that's kind of like
inner child.
Yeah, that's excuses because it's really for you. So first of all, don't have it in the house because most likely you're not going to get into the car and start driving to find it. I actually once had a client that took my advice, cleaned her house out of everything, and she woke up in the middle of the night and she felt desperate and she baked herself a cake from scratch, not from a mix, from scratch. Like she put all the ingredients together, she blended it, she put it in the oven, she waited 45 minutes till the cake was ready. Okay, but that's extreme. Most people, if it's not easily there, are just not going to do it. So don't have it in the house, first of all. Second of all, brush your teeth.
Maybe
and
close the electric on the ovens after 11 o'clock. Like, it just goes off.
In her case, yes, totally. And the car. Hide the car keys and whatever. Uber Eats should be off everybody's phones, especially...
Uber Eats is the worst.
Yes.
The worst.
Uber Eats should be, like, Usher. It should be Usher on everyone's phones unless they're at, like, work and they need to order lunch or something. Brush your teeth, floss your teeth. Put away the food. Like a lot of times people have their dinner out and leftovers out, or like if they have guests and the cake platter is still out, like it should not be in your face. Brush your teeth, floss your teeth, get out of the kitchen, drink a lot of water, distract yourself, find other things to do. Like food is not the only entertainment, right? And then if you still need something, we do put in something every night called a treat. We give everyone a different calorie allowance of how much extra they can have if they need. But like Michael said, it's better to first take a fruit, but like, it's like a heter, like if you really need, you could take X amount of calories at the end of the day.
In general, when you want to lose weight, even with Tanya's diet, so at the end of the day, we're going to do a calorie deficit.
Yes, it's much more complicated than that, but yes, of course, you have to eat not too much in order to lose weight, yes.
Okay, let's take one more live question, then we're going to go to the closing segment, okay, Tanya?
Yes, sure.
Okay, last live question.
My question is as follows. It's interesting, as I was listening to the lecture, I was thinking about my eating late at night, and I realized it's because of something that I don't want to feel. So that was like, was helpful. But then sometimes I'm hungry at night, and like if I take a fruit, I kind of feel that it opens up like cravings that it never ends with fruit. I'm wondering, I don't have, like, I try to eat balanced, but I don't have at night when I am hungry and I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to sleep because I'm hungry. Maybe I eat in order not to feel something that I don't want to feel at night. But something that I could eat that doesn't totally offset my, into the crate, like a fruit. Food is for me like sugar, and it leads me down a crazy path. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. You're making sense, but I don't think the answer is food. I'll tell you why. It's like if you would tell me that your leg hurts and I would tell you to go check your, I don't know what, your eyelashes. Like I wouldn't really be helping you, right? Like if you're dealing with uncomfortable feelings, right? And you're asking what you should eat, right? Instead of something.
I'm in therapy for it. I've had trauma. I know what it is about. But okay. My question, the clue is, sometimes I am hungry. Yeah, there's always this fear of like, and I realized it as I was listening to this gorgeous lecture. I was like, yeah, my night eating is definitely in order not to feel feelings. But if I am feeling hungry and I want to eat something, what can I eat that's not going to bring on that, sugar high, that
so, kind of? Maybe you could have like, let's say like 5 to 8 almonds. Or like if you're not fleishig, like let's say like 2 to 3 whole wheat melba toasts with like a string cheese. You know, it's like something with like a, like either like a healthy fat or like a carb and a protein. Almonds are great for that because they're easy and they're,
I realized that it needs to be like something like a whole, like a fat, a carb, like a protein. I realize it myself. I've been trying to understand, what I'm doing for a long time.
That's great that you realize that.
So it's no shortcuts. And why can some people have a fruit and that's good for them and for me it doesn't work?
What kind of fruit are you having?
I take an apple.
Yeah, an apple should be good. Like, it's not even, like, a sugary fruit. Maybe psychologically, like, once you have something, you feel like, oh, I might as well keep going. Because I don't think it's physiological. An apple does not cause cravings.
Maybe you don't think it's physiological.
Maybe it's psychological.
You don't think it's physiological.
What is that?
I'm here. No, I don't think it's physiological.
No, because an apple would not cause cravings. Like, if you would say dry fruit or a piece of cake or even rice cakes, like I said earlier, but an apple doesn't cause cravings. I think some people do this. They tell themselves like, okay, I had a fruit. So that's it. I'm off track. I might as well have a bunch of other things. So it might be like just like psychological.
I think maybe psychological in terms of thinking I didn't have a complete like balanced snack, something like
right.
that. Maybe it's
right.
like.
Right.
Right, and that's why one of the things that we really encourage people to do is not to try to take shortcuts. During the course of the day, you want to make sure that you're properly nourishing yourself. And, one of the things that you might want to try to do is if you can't eat your meal later, but just make sure that your nighttime meal is robust enough that it will, that you really shouldn't be hungry. And right. that, and then therefore recognize that the feeling, the sensation that you're feeling is not really hunger. I mean, based on what you're saying, it's, you know that it's not really it's not that you're hungry. It's that it's coming from a sense, from a sensation of a feeling. So
I have to listen to this whole lecture to get it, like to remind myself it's not the food that I'm looking for.
Right. So therefore to try to deal with that feeling by eating food is, you know, is not really, it's not the effective approach anyway. So, you know, we just, sometimes we just have to ride it out a little bit and just say, all right, you know what? Let me give myself another 10 minutes, especially as you get closer to bedtime. It'll be easier to just say, all right, that's it. You know, I'm close enough. Let me just sleep this one out. And, tomorrow's a new day.
I just want to say one more thing that my client, actually told me. I think she learned this in therapy, even as a technique. It's easier said than done. I'm not saying it's easy, but she said that like sometimes it's okay to like marinate in your discomfort. Like I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to marinate in my discomfort. Like it's okay to be uncomfortable, right? Like we're so quick to like, especially in this generation, like something's broken, fix it. Like I'm not comfortable, fix it. Like I'm feeling whatever feelings, eat, right? Like sometimes it's okay to just kind of like sit in your discomfort a little bit, you know?
I don't always realize though that it's not the food that.
Right. Well, you sound very self-aware. So you're already 10 steps ahead of a lot of people.
This was so helpful. I can't thank you enough.
Sure. I'm glad it was helpful to you.
Okay, let's go to the closing segment of tonight's program. So first of all, thank Tanya Rosen and Michael Schlossinger for coming on tonight, giving tremendous chizik. And really, this is a very powerful topic now that we got into it. You know, it's very important. I'm happy you came, and hopefully we'll have a lot more programs on health and exercise, just keeping ourselves, you know, it's such an important part of our lives, mentally and physically, for everything. Like, it's, you know, we got to really keep on going. And again, if anybody's here the first time every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on the Zoom ID, we have different topics, different shiurim. Next week, January 19th, we'll be having top-notch therapist, Saidi, from Cherry Hill, Dr. David Levy, and the topic is called, he's actually a child psychologist, it's called the Nurtured Heart Approach, which is a very famous method, the Nurtured Heart. I actually learned about it recently. We all strive to give our kids a stable, safe, and secure home, but yet often we miss the key to the true success of being healthy adults. So please join us next week. It's going to be a very powerful program. It's a different technique in parenting, and a lot of people that do it, I've seen some people that use it. It's really phenomenal. So please join us. Everything is recorded tonight. My channel will be on MenachemBerfel.com. If anyone has any questions, you can please email coachmenachem@gmail.com. Tonight's shir is shir 216. Alach Manya. And it's going to be on the phone line 732-905-9011. 732-305-9011. Again, thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop, Ellie Nari, Five Town Central, Kyla Kaufman from JCN. We're going to go to the closing segment. I'll go first. Menachem, Michael, and then Tanya. I just want to say again that my own personal experience is, you know, we could all say we want to have this. At the end of the day, we have to look inside ourselves and see what we want to do, what we really want to do. And if we need to get the help, there's people out there, whether it's Tanya, whether it's somebody local, whether it's somebody, your friend, whether it's a group, whether it's Weight Watchers, whatever works for you, do something about it. Be serious about it. Like I said before, if it's really a priority on your list and it's something that really means something to you, again, this is a lifelong battle. It's a struggle. Somebody just texted me, he lost 100 pounds. He says, for 17 years, he struggles every day not to go eat cake at 10 o'clock at night. It didn't get easier. It's hard for him, but just like, it is what it is. I'm not going to do it. Obviously, the more we get used to certain things, the more I personally stopped eating after supper. Just from that alone, you lose 5-10 pounds without doing anything. It's something that I got used to, right? But every once in a while, I get hungry or I get that feeling. It's not hunger. I'm going to go get take a fruit. That's my backup. It's constantly working on life shifts on yourself and then. And exercise, whether it helps you lose a little weight, ultimately exercise brings down your risk of cancers, brings down your some of the guys I work with, they told me when they were in the 45, they went to the doctor, they had high cholesterol, they were borderline diabetics, and their overall health was the bad cholesterol, the non-exercise was terrible. Like they're basically in the next year or two, the doctor said they're going to be on medicine and insulin. They all went to running, these two guys, they're 70s now, said 6 months later, he went back to the doctor. The doctor said, you're totally clear. Your blood, your sugars are normal. Your cholesterol is good. I had another friend that was going on heart medication just now. He lost tons of weight because he knows this is the beginning of problems. He lost 40 pounds in a very short period of time and he has a clear bill of health. So these are like, you know, exercise is a serious thing for your life. So you're either going to pay for it via doctors and medication and who knows what, or you're going to pay for it by sweating or dieting and doing this. And, you know, We all think it's not going to happen to us, but hopefully it happens to everybody. So that's what it is. And I'm very thankful for Tanya and Michael for coming on tonight and really just explaining the things, understanding that there's a lot of options out there. It doesn't have to be fanatical. It doesn't have to be like, okay, I'm eating only alfalfa sprouts. There are, right, Tanya, you have other options besides alfalfa sprouts, just confirming. There are methods. You can be more extreme. You can be less extreme. You could do what you want to. There are people that go on a very extreme thing, and then they, you know, titter out, and then they go into regular people that do slow. Whatever works for you, find the person, find the technique, and be serious about it. Ultimately, when you do lose weight, and ultimately when you do exercise, you're going to feel 1,000 times better about yourself. It's going to help your mental health. It's going to help everything around you. You're going to be gesund. And maybe we'll start saving money so we can make a normal kiddush, and I could serve a little Tanya blueberry muffin. But again, that's my agdama. I'm very into this. I think it's a very important part of our lives. And I feel like myself, many years, I didn't feel I could do it. I didn't feel like it's attainable or, oh, it's not going to happen to me. I'm naturally a skinny person. But ultimately, you got to wake up and smell the coffee. Coach Menachem.
Okay. Thank you, both of you. It's an amazing program. And I just want to mention, like we discussed, we live in a fast-paced world. And no one has time to plan. No one has time to be mindful. And it all boils down to stop for a moment, become aware of where you are. What do you want? If you can be mindful for a few minutes and come up with a plan, then you'll be able to continue running. But if you're not going to stop and be able to see and where am I, then you're not going to know what's going to happen. And before you know it, all of this, turns around and it gets harder. So like we heard, it's mindset, relationship with food. And it's not just for a year or two. It's who we are. There's always food around. We always have to understand what works for me, what doesn't. And find that those food that work, enjoy it, like we heard from Michael. And if you have to run, know what you're doing. If you have your plan, stick to it. And again, it is a struggle for many. You know, I'm not going to take away that part, and I know that it is a struggle. But to be able to come up with a plan, come up with knowing what works and what doesn't. Hopefully you get back into self-control. And I guess there are people who are scared of self-control, so they go to 12-step program. But again, if it works, it works. But this is what it boils down to. So thank you very much, and I want to wish everyone on the journey. And it's not a journey that we have to get somewhere. It's a daily thing, daily mindset. That it should, we should become clear, we should know what works, and we should feel good about ourselves. And then we can start off Yomi. We can start feeling good in other areas in our life, Mitzvah Shem.
Just before Michael goes, just a few questions we were texting. People want to know if they reached out to Tanya or Michael, you guys are only in offices or there's virtual A?
We work remotely, all over, on Zoom, on WhatsApp video, on phone call, anywhere.
People want to know where your products are available, your things that we spoke about.
All kosher supermarkets, online, nutritionbytanya.com/shop, and any of our locations.
Can everything we discussed tonight, whether it's the food or the classes or whatever you do, everything is on Nutrition by Tanya? If somebody wants to reach out, consult, everything is there.
Yeah, can I give the phone number?
You can give the phone number. We're going to send out an email. If you want to give a phone number, what's the phone number?
Phone number is 844-TANYA-DIET, which is 844-826-9234. 844-826-9234. Very easy. Tanya Diet.
If anybody has any questions, you could call the office, speak to the people there, whether you're them or anybody else. Michael, give me your closing thoughts.
Okay, thank you. So I just want to thank everybody for coming here and joining. And the fact that you took time out and that you felt that it was, that you felt stirred to be part of this, it's your way of showing yourself that you care. And just remember that, you know, as Usher and Coach Menachem mentioned, that, you know, you are your own individual. There is no typical, there is no average, there is no normal. You have to decide for yourself, you know, what is, and some of it is, you know, I tell my clients, you always want to be using this time to learn as much about yourself as you can, because the more informed you are about yourself and your tendencies and what really is going on inside your mind and inside your body, the more equipped you are to be able to be the best version of yourself. So just keep at it and just just make sure to always be looking to see, all right, forget about everybody else. What is my next logical step in the step forward to being the best person I could be?
Thank you, Michael. That was beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Nutrition by Tanya.
So I just want to, I didn't even think of that, but that's very true what Michael said. Like the fact that everyone is here, unless you came because you thought you're going to like get Ozempic prescriptions, but like it means that you care. You're here because you care. You're interested in bettering yourself, which I always give everyone credit for. I think that's amazing. So I want to thank everyone. And I just want to say two quick things. One is that I always say, like, if I could just like pick one thing that people would, you know, walk away with, whether it's like a client one-on-one, a group client from this Zoom, whatever it is that, everyone basically cheats on their diets. There's no such thing as someone that's like always perfect, never cheats, never touches a piece of cake, myself included. I just told you earlier, I love Kakish cake, right? But I'll tell you the difference between people who are successful long-term and those who are not. And there's just one difference. It's not even what kind of plan they are. It's not what diet they did. It's one thing and one thing only. It's the people that know how to get right back on a minute later, not next week, not next month, not after the next holiday, not after the next kiddish, like literally like a minute later, as if nothing happened. Those are the people that do well long-term. So the next time that you eat something that you know you shouldn't be eating or is not in line with your goals, instead of like letting it spiral and continue, literally just pretend nothing happened and get back on. It's a game changer. And the other thing I wanted to mention, which I know is not specifically in line with nutrition, but this is a Jewish podcast and this is about Torah. And I want to say that it's so like, just like we daven for other things, don't forget to daven to have an easy time being on your plan, being on your diet, sticking to your diet. In the folders that we give new clients, there is an actual tefillah to succeed on a diet. You can email me, tanya@nutritionbytanya.com, subject line, dieting prayer, and I will have the office send it to you. There is an actual prayer. I did not make it up. People always ask me if I made it up. I do not make up prayers. That is not my domain. It's a rabbi in Israel, verified. My husband checked it out. It's a real thing. So don't forget to daven, whether in your own words or you could say this prayer. And I want to wish everyone good luck in their journeys, wherever you are with it. Good luck. And thank you so much for the opportunity of being here.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Michael. Again, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Just that you came and spent over 2 hours with us shows a lot about you, and hopefully you should have a lot of success whichever route you take. Make sure we'll see everybody January 19th at 9 p.m. with Dr. David Levy, Nurtured Heart. Good night, and thank you all.
Good night.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.